Good morning. Super to see you this morning. Thank you for being here. We have a
very good audience. We had a good audience of 8, and I'm confident we have quite a few people listening online this morning, and we are welcoming all of you. If we have guests, thank you for being here. What a privilege it is to worship with you, to try to honor God with you, and to encourage each other with you. As I think this morning about the blessings that we have so many, and we this morning earlier sang at the 8 o'clock service, "Oh, to be like thee." And I've been singing that song. I don't remember when I started singing that song as a young man going to church. I started going to church before I could remember going to church. I know that. And this song has been sung over and over and over again. Oh, to be like thee. And we sing to our blessed Redeemer that we want to be like him, praying that we would be like him. And as I think about that, I'm not sure that any of us fully can comprehend what it's like to be like Jesus, to be the person that Jesus could be, was, and continues to be for us. It's hard for us to be the kind of benevolent person that Jesus was. I am in full agreement with Sean's comments a while ago about this congregation. And our giving recently has indicated that. And by recently, I mean through this whole year, but especially the special giving that we did. The blessings were so many, and you helped so many good people as you gave. And we continue to give, and we continue to do. And I remember we have university students in this room, quite a few of you. I remember as a university student, I kept thinking, you know, when I get my degree, I'll be a good giver. When I get a job, when I get a paycheck, when. And it's hard for us to be givers in the moment. And sometimes it might be as we grow older, when I get my house paid for, when I get my car paid for, and we keep moving in those directions. And if we aren't thoughtful about being like Christ, oh, to be like him. We ought to be prayerful in that regard. As I think about that passage that is up on the screen, just thinking about what God supplies for us from Philippians chapter 4, my God is going to supply all of our needs. God has never said that he would supply all of our desires. We have a human body, and that human body has desires that sometimes can lead us astray from what we really need. And we move in that direction so very often of things that we want instead of things that we need. And so we pray to be like God. I want to remind you of very familiar passages here for just a moment from Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. Jesus said, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, why would I want to do that? People who sometimes intentionally want to hurt me and put me down and make me feel bad and keep me from getting what I want and where I want and who I want to be with. Why would I pray for them? Verse 45 says, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." God is going to treat me with great benevolence, even when I am not who I'm supposed to be. And that's often. We all turn away from God with our attitude and our actions and problems that we have. God is going to take care of us and supply every need that we have, even when we are not who we need to be. And so as we think about our lives and wanting to be like God, we need to remember what was just read. A generous person is going to prosper, but it's not just giving to other people, it's giving to yourself at the same time. And God will bless us. He will refresh not only the people to whom we give, but He will refresh us. So when we start thinking about what God is doing to us, He is also doing for us. He's giving us great blessings and great opportunities to share with other people so that we might be who we need to be. Benevolence really is just generosity toward other people. And it is a proof of our love. Why do you think we call John 3:16 the golden text of the Bible? For God so loved the world, that's you and me. He so loved the world that He gave. You see, at the heart of benevolence is love. How we love is about how we do life, how we give, how we serve, how we show other people that we really, really care. How important is it to think about these tremendous passages that we read over and over again? And why do we do that? Because they're so significant to us being like Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. And then, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for a friend. And you see, what we have is God asking for a sacrifice. I confess to you this morning as I stand before you, I don't know much about sacrifice. I've had it made all of my life. I've been blessed with a tremendous family. I've been blessed with great friends. I've been blessed with great churches to be with. I've been blessed every way my life has turned in jobs. I have just been so fortunate. So I know very little about sacrifice. Some of you came in this room today understanding more about a sacrifice than I. Some of you have elderly parents or spouses, or you have special needs children. You have circumstances that will be with you the rest of your life or the rest of the lives of the persons that you are sharing life with. It's a sacrifice. So many of us know very little about that at this point. We continue to be blessed in such great ways because of God's blessings. The psalmist teaches us that the cattle of 1,000 hills, they all belong to the Lord. And yet, we at stake. We have plenty to eat. We have so much because of God's benevolence toward us. But what happens is, if we are going to be like God, and we're praying to be like God, we're working to be like God, we're going to start working as though we have the nature of God. A super impressive passage to me is found early in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, when God said, "Let us create man in our own image." God permits you and me to image Him, to image His nature. You and I can be as benevolent as we choose, because God is omnibenevolent. His benevolence never ends. He never stops caring about me, even when I act as though I don't care about Him. He never stops loving me when I don't show love toward Him. And God permits me to be as much like that as I'm willing to be. I can be loving. I can sacrifice. I can give. I can serve. I can work. But sometimes it's hard to give up 5 minutes to help somebody. It's hard to give up $5 to help somebody. Those things don't come easily because of our flesh. We have such strong desires. We want so much. We think we need so much. But remember, God supplies every need, not every want that we have. And so as we begin to pray about ourselves and, oh, to be like you, our blessed Redeemer, we need to be thinking about developing greater and greater degree in the nature of God. Because that nature is going to lead us to love. And loving is about what we do. And the Bible is just so full of statements that show us that God loves us. John 3 and verse 35 teaches us that the Father starts with loving the Son. When I think about my children and grandchildren, I think about dying for them. Or I think about having one of them die for you. Would I take my son and say, okay, you deserve death, but I'm going to take your place with my son? How could I do that? Loving my children the way I do, how could I do that? But God so loved the world, He gave His Son. It was an act of love in the giving of the life of the Son of God. The Father loved the Son. The older I've gotten, the less I can conceive of the depth of the meaning of Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? What that meant to the Father in heaven, having to turn his back on his Son so that he could die for my sins, not for his own, but for my sins. To be that loving and that giving and so willing to share his life. But 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16 teaches us that both the Father and the Son love us. There's so many passages, Matthew 20, Philippians 2, they teach us that Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. For the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. That was the very purpose of him coming into the world, to love us so much that he would give, as we think about what God would have us to do. As I think about myself, I know that it is so very hard to consider the depth of giving that Jesus had, that the Father had. Why is it that we are so impressed with a passage like Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, when it says, I beseech you, or I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And Paul said, that's reasonable in your service to God. That's what you ought to be doing. So it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of effort. I want to share with you again Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to many good works. You see, God is looking for us. We've been washed. If this morning, if you have been baptized into Christ, repenting of your sins, you've been washed, you've been regenerated, you've been made alive again. Not because you're good, but because God is good. And He wants us to keep that thing in mind today so that we might be benevolent people. We might be loving and helpful and kind, willing to lay our lives down for our friends, as Jesus was willing to lay His life down for us. If you're a child of God this morning, and you've let your life slip away from that benevolent, sacrificial, giving kind of life, sharing life with people every day, in good and bad, God wants you to remember this morning, you need to turn. He wants you to know this morning that you've been washed. You've been regenerated, made alive again. Not because you're good, but because God is good. And He wants you to respond back to Him in loving obedience with a benevolent, sacrificial life. And then he promises to bless you in ways that are amazing. His grace and mercy will be all over you and all over your life. And so as we come this morning to think in terms of ending our services, God is pleased with us when we're givers, when we're good givers, when we're cheerful givers. And this invitation song is designed to help you think about giving yourself to God if you have not, to rededicate your life to God if you need to. And so that's our hope and that's our prayer as we stand together and sing this song. Please.